Was there a tipping point that prompted you to write this letter?
Yeah, I think it was really just the number of angry messages coming to me from both extremes that just led me to start reflecting on our unity in Christ and the fact that so much of our political division has spilled over into the church. So in the letter I said, it seems at this moment we have Trump Catholics and Biden Catholics, and maybe that's just the latest iteration of the divisions that have been with us for a long time in terms of, you know, more progressive and more traditional Catholics. But this division is louder, angrier, and I think a greater chasm, you know, that we need to heal. Also, at the end of the letter, I say that water is thicker than blood, you know, that our commonality, our communion in baptism is deeper and far more significant than, you know, race, nation, political party, and even family. So regardless of what we think about everything else, we're still bound together in Christ, in the church. And that's not to say that we should not decry, you know, evil, wrongdoing. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't criticize decisions by the administration or the government that are not in line with church teaching, but to keep politics out of it and stick with the moral issues. That was another one of my points.
Bishop Hyang, is it an extra danger that some of these political differences in the church get some theological differences attached to them as well?
No, that's right. And we focus on those divisions often much more than we focus on what unites us. So when we look at, you know, the magisterium, when we look at the scripture, when we look at the catechism, when we look at the deposit of revelation, those are the truths that unite us as Catholics in the mystical body of Christ. Within that union, there's legitimate diversity, but it's important to know, you know, what's essential to the church, what's essential to our faith, and what are the things that we can have legitimate differences on. And I think in the current moment, things are so divided and polarized, there's not much room in the middle. And I think, you know, the extreme right and the extreme left really feed off each other in a way.
Bishop Hyang, how do we have the conversation, again, with clarity and charity, to point out that those who stand for abortion, those elected officials who stand for abortion, are the Herods of today?
I really think it starts with prayer. You know, I often want to say to people, you know, who are loud in their criticisms and complaints, you know, pray for an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament and then go to confession. And after you've done those two things, then speak. Because I think if we're truly rooted in Christ, we will speak the truth in charity and call people who really need intellectual and perhaps moral conversion in a way that's not going to come off as simply, you know, an attack on their person, but rather a deep concern for the positions they take, but also a concern for their soul, right? That what we speak and do is out of compassion for the salvation and the good of every single person. And that's what's missing at times, I think.
Bishop Hyang, if we have prominent Catholics in public spots professing to not follow all the tenets of our faith, that can misguide Catholics who might not be well studied, which is an obvious danger. But at the same time, if there is a prominent Catholic kind of, quote, not doing it right, and it's a chance for us to explain what really the bishops and our Lord would like to see happen, is that actually an opportunity to bring up the conversation, kind of expensive as that opportunity might be?
Yeah, very much so. And I think it's what motivated Archbishop Gomez's letter. Archbishop Gomez, who's Archbishop of Los Angeles and also current president of the United States Bishops Conference, wrote a letter released on Inauguration Day, you know, praying for President Biden, affirming that there's areas of convergence where the church will work with the administration to advance the common good, but also being honest and saying there's areas of difference, you know, where the administration needs to be challenged. And I think an added dimension is the fact that President Biden professes Catholic faith, goes to Mass, and states that faith is his guiding principle. So it adds a complexity, but also an opportunity for us to really pray for him and in the ways that his heart and mind need to be changed to pray for that as well, as we would for any president.
Bishop Hying, you know that the reality is that the majority of Catholics sadly side with the way President Biden practices his faith and sees some of the moral issues of the day. So for those of us who want to convert those souls, how do we start having the conversation to let them know that there's not a left heaven and a right heaven?
Mm-hmm. My thought would be to start by listening. You know, maybe to invite someone in your family or in your circle of friends or at work that you know is a Catholic and disagrees with the church on some fundamental positions. Maybe just to invite that person to articulate why they believe that or why they think that. And when I've done that, it's always been effective, I think, because in essence, it gently challenges that person to think through their position. And oftentimes what they will discover is they've just kind of accepted or adapted what the culture says about that particular issue. And often they haven't studied the position of the church and the rationale for the position of the church. So it's an opportunity just to invite them to reflect out loud why they hold the position they do, and also to, you know, say, well, have you ever read what the church actually says about this? You know, and mm-hmm. be prepared with the catechism or with, you know, sections of the church's teaching. And I think you're going to get further that way than simply kind of starting out with your position in a very firm and strong way.